So some new findings detailed what sounds like a real nightmare for parents. And so, look, I'm a parent of a seven-year-old. I will sometimes see this, and I'll share these stories with you, certainly, that I'm sometimes thinking, oh, my gosh, what is happening in that classroom? For example, I have a seven-year-old. He's a pretty good boy, not because I'm biased, but because I hear it from basically everybody. And when he acts up, it's right in front of me and his dad, which is just the best. But I know he is an upstanding role model for his peers. This is what his teachers say. This is what his hockey coach says, his golf coach, everybody, whatever. I'm not bragging about my kid, but I'm making a point, I promise. But my understanding is that my son has a real problem parenting other children. Okay, so I had my parent-teacher conference about a month ago, and my husband and I are sitting there. His teacher's amazing. So, oh, Chase is doing great academically. He's great with his peers, yada, yada, yada. Here's the problem, though, is Chase has to learn that he can't control other kids. I said, okay, what do you mean? She said, well, the kids get rowdy, and they kind of act up. And, you know, Chase is that kid who parents them. Would you be quiet? The teacher is reading. Would you stop? We're going to lose recess. That's my kid. Yep. I wonder where he got that from. I'm joking. Clearly from me. But, you know, the teacher said, please, you know, work on him parenting other children. Why am I telling you this story? Well, it's brutal what teachers are going through, and even students like my kid, honestly, because more and more research is showing. Federal data this morning confirms that 71% of schools nationwide are currently overwhelmed by a record-breaking spike in acting out and student anxiety. The fallout is a disaster for things like literacy. And we've seen that even here in Connecticut. Let's talk about just a year ago. There was a Hartford high schooler who could not read but graduated from high school. Now, of course, I know that's not the norm, but we know this to be true in Connecticut. So when I saw this report, I wanted to talk to somebody about this. Joy Berry joins us now, the inventor of Self-Help for Kids, which provides the literal manual for this crisis we're talking about. With 85 million books sold, she replaces acting out with self-reliance. Joy, I have been looking forward to chatting with you all week long. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
I want to learn, first of all, a little bit about you and why you took an interest in this specifically.
Well, listen, I started out as a public school teacher. That's all I ever wanted to be. And I was very good at teaching kids academics. And then I had an experience that kind of changed the trajectory of my career. And that was the discovery that if we want to raise responsible kids, they're going to need to have the skills that are necessary to be responsible for themselves and in their relationships with others and in the way that they relate to the things in their environment. So I started teaching those classes, you know, self-help classes. And when I realized there was no materials to actually teach things like, you know, how to clean your room, how to make a friend, how to handle disagreements, how to handle parent-child conflicts, all that stuff, I realized that I needed to write those materials myself. I did, and the rest is history. But I want to comment on this. You know, the misbehavior in school. You know, I wish that every teacher would start the school year by sitting the class down and saying, let's decide how we're going to set this, our rules up to serve us and make this classroom run smoothly for everyone. And you sit down and you make the rules as a team. And with every rule, you also have the kids put together a consequence. And you turn that into a chart, put it on the wall, and then when the child breaks the rule, the student breaks the rule, then you just refer to the chart, the consequence goes into effect. The reason this is a very, very successful way to handle misbehavior in the classroom is because we know that kids do better when they buy into the rules that they're supposed to follow. And by the way, this whole system works well at home as well. When parents sit down with their kids, work out the rules for the home and the consequences, post those rules and consequences, and let that system kind of discipline the child, you would be surprised at how successful it is for kids to follow those rules.
But I think, Joy, you just said something that's really important, excuse me. And again, Joy Berry is here, known as the inventor of self-help books for kids, with more than 200 mm-hmm. titles, over 85 million copies sold worldwide, teaching children how to replace negative behavior with responsibility, self-control, real-world decision-making. You said something really important there, Joy. That is a partnership. So, you know, back to the reason I used my son's, you know, example is because of this. The teacher did all the things you're talking about. I remember her sitting down and I remember my son coming home with that sheet of paper showing me these are the rules in the classroom. These are the things we have to follow. I mean, she did all those things. Here's the part that's missing. And you can't obviously tell people what to do. Is it's a partnership. If what's being told to be done at school is not also being mirrored at home, there's going to be a disconnect, right? I mean, because I think we do need to speak to that part of it. You know, I think in some regard, and I don't know if the pandemic had anything to do with it, but we have this sense of we're dropping our kids off. We expect our teachers to teach them to read, teach them to do math, teach them to be who they need to be. And in some regard, we've kind of put all the onus on teachers. And I think that second component is in some regard missing. And the only reason I can say that again is just from a parent perspective. If you go to birthday parties, things like that, you see how these kids sometimes are acting in public, are acting mm-hmm. when they're mm-hmm. not in mm-hmm. a classroom. And I think to myself, this poor teacher, holy cow. I mean, and again, so I think you said something that needs to be addressed. And I know it's not comfortable to talk about it, but you need a partnership between the school and the families.
That is always the desirable situation, is when the two are working in tandem. But that doesn't always happen. And that's why it's so important to put the onus on the child. You know, I believe that every child has the capacity to live their life intelligently and responsibly, no matter where they are. But in order for that to happen, they have to be given the skills that they need to be responsible. For example, you know, if you want a kid to clean the room, you know, they have to have the skill to clean the room. And the thing about a self-help book for kids, and by the way, they didn't always exist, especially when I started out. These books that we're talking about, they talk directly to kids. And when we're talking about behavior and misbehavior, good behavior and misbehavior, we're talking about books that define a misbehavior, tell kids what is usually causing the misbehavior, explain to them how that misbehavior is not getting them what they want, and then, you know, giving them options to how they can actually get their way without misbehaving. So much of misbehavior comes from not knowing any better.
Author Joy Berry is here, and we are talking about kids in school, really. Federal data confirms that 71% of schools, the majority of schools across the country, are currently overwhelmed by a record-breaking spike in acting out in student anxiety. And quite frankly, it's a lot of different things, right? I mean, you've got teachers who now have so many different roles. We're also kind of generationally changing the way that we parent, honestly. I mean, if you look at how my parents parented us versus how we are parenting our son, those mm-hmm. generations mm-hmm. are very different. I know I'm not so much one of these, but I know gentle parenting is more of a way. However, there are some good things, I think. You've got more dads that are more involved than ever before. So there's, you know, it's not all bad, but I think you've got a lot happening. And so acting out is happening more and more. I hear this all the time, Joy, from teachers here in Connecticut, all the time. And they just don't know what to do. And so I wanted to talk about, for the first thing, which you had kind of alluded to before, let's talk about the tantrum to textbook bridge. Why kids literally cannot learn to read, for example, while their brains are in fight or flight mode.
That's a very, very good question. It's, children are usually pretty one-track oriented. They're not necessarily good multitaskers. So they can focus on one thing at a time. And if they're upset to the point of throwing a tantrum, they're not going to be able to do anything else. They're focused on that and that alone. And that's where this whole concept of having a book that actually tells a child, this is what a tantrum is. This is why you're probably throwing your tantrums. Here's where it's getting you, and here's where what you can do to get what you really want better than throwing a tantrum. Because, you know, one of the things that I learned early on is that, for, you know, especially during that age, remember, I started writing books. I write for very, very young children. Mm. It's the Teach Me About series. I go in through the early childhood, I get into elementary school age, and I end up with preteen. And each one of those series actually ties into the developmental needs of kids, where they're actually at, what they're actually experiencing. So that's why that whole series, Help Me Be Good, it's the series that deals with the misbehavior that you're bound to get when a child is in that 3 to 5, in up to 7 years of age. And I learned early on that during that time, children are less likely to listen to the quote-unquote preaching of parents. Mm. And more likely, if somebody else says it, it has more validity. If the book says it, you know, it has more validity. And in that way, these books kind of do the preaching for the parents.
Well, I mean, and how many times, Joy, do we say the things like, look it up? Or, I don't know, I mean, I'm really going off, but I promise this relates back.
No.
But I mean, a classic line in which movie is it? Dodgeball, where he's like, I read it in a book. I mean, it's funny, but we'll say things like that. But it's so true. You know, if you read it, man, that's law, right? So that idea,
yeah,
especially
absolutely.
As an elementary kid. Yeah, right. I could see where that resonates. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's, and when you get, you know, after you get through the handling your emotions and your early childhood emotions and attitudes and your misbehavior, then you get into the core of our program, which is actually teaching kids skills like making friends, handling disagreements, you know, handling sibling rivalry, developing a positive self-esteem. Those actually are skills that you can learn. See, kids want control over their lives. They want that from the beginning. But in order to have control over your life, you have to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be responsible, you've got to be taught how to be responsible. And now the series after Living Skills is how to meet expectations, like how to clean your room, how to get good grades, how to do your homework, how to keep yourself safe, all of those things. And
hey,
then, of
Joy,
course,
question, because you have 200 titles. Is there anywhere in there that says how to lose like a winner, anything of that
absolutely.
Nature? Because we struggle with that. Let me tell you, we are in prime. I have to win everything. We're in that frame for a solid 2 years now. We just have to win at everything. And I could lose my mind. I could.
Well, just listen.
Yeah.
Your son, he sounds like someone I'd like to know.
Oh.
He sounds like a great kid.
He's something.
Well, okay. So you know what? I would really move him pretty quickly into the whole the self-actualization series, which is called The Winning Skills. And the book that you need to get for him, and incidentally, these books now are all in downloadable formats, so they're very, very inexpensive. And you can get them quickly and easily, and kids can access them on their computers and iPhones. And
I kind of want the hard copy, though. Is that cool, Joy? I'm still old school. I love me a good hard copy. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Okay, good. Well, you can get those, too. But anyway, there is a book in that series, The Winning Skills, that is You Can Be a Winner. And that is the book that your son needs to teach him how to handle competition and how to handle not winning and how to handle winning.
Cool. I need that yesterday.
Hey, listen, I just encourage you to get that that book.
I wrote it down.
Yeah.
I'm not joking.
You can be a winner. That's for your son. And I think you're going to find a lot of things that'll be really resonant with him. The whole concept of how to handle difficult people, because he's obviously frustrated sometimes with his peers.
Yeah, what's that one called? We need that one too. How to not parent your class. What's that one called?
Yeah. That's how to handle difficult people.
How to handle difficult people. I honestly could read that too. How to handle difficult people. Fantastic. Honestly, I know this is for elementary, but I feel like we could use this as adults as well. How to handle, I literally am writing this down. Difficult people. Fantastic. Done.
Listen, Melissa, a lot of adults, you would be surprised at the mail we get from parents who said, I learned how to clean my room for the first time by reading your book. I mean, they really, it's just universal principles is what it is.
Yeah.
And so they're relevant to you know, anyone really.
Yeah. Well, so, let me tell you, Joy, your parents did the right thing when they named you Joy, because you've done nothing short of giving me joy this morning. And I am going to link actually more about you in all of the books if people want to access them, as you mentioned, either through hard copy or digital downloads. I'm going to put those with your podcast on our website, voiceofct.com. And I want to thank you so much. Unfortunately, we have run out of time for today, but I'd love to have you back on the show in future. I think a lot of people will resonate with obviously the books that you've written, but also just getting your feedback and what perspective, certainly as a former educator, being in the education sector for so long and then turning those skills into now these transformational books. I think it's a big deal. So thank you for giving us the time. And I do hope to have you back on the show really soon. More information on our website, voiceofct.com. Joy Berry, thank you so much.